The following program is a paid program, and the views expressed are not necessarily those of 920 WGKA or Salem Communications.
Welcome to Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Every Sunday night, right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And now your host, Mark Walters.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to yet another edition of Armed American Radio, brought to you by the United States Concealed Carry Association, the ultimate resource for the armed citizen. I'm your host, Mark Walters, a.k.a. the Ordinary Guy columnist with Concealed Carry Magazine, the official publication of the USCCA. Folks, our website is up at armedamericanradio.org. That's armedamericanradio.org. Get over to it and check it out. We are broadcasting live tonight from the Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia, inside the studios of Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. My board operator is Gene, and the numbers, should you wish to participate in this evening's program, and you probably will, are 888-920-2665. That's 888-920-2665. Or you can reach us at 770-226-0920. Again, 770-226-0920. Stick with me here all across the United States. We have listeners everywhere tonight, and if you're joining us for the first time, turn everything else off, put down the remote control, put down the book, and quit playing solitaire on that Dell. In the next few moments, I'll be joined by Mr. Dick Heller, the man himself, who selflessly fought for your freedoms, our freedoms, a man that every gun-owning American owes a debt of gratitude for his determination against the gun-hating liberals of the D.C. City Council, and the man personally responsible for the affirmation by the Supreme Court of our God-given rights by virtue of his prevailing in the Heller versus D.C. case. Mr. Heller will be joined with me this evening by Mr. Dane Von Breichenruckhardt, the president of the U.S. Bill of Rights Foundation and an absolutely brilliant legal mind and one of the architects of the Heller versus D.C. case. You're going to want to pick the phone up, and we're going to try to work you in if we can get some callers in here tonight. First off, happy Mother's Day to all moms out there tonight, and a very special happy Mother's Day to all of you freedom-loving, gun-toting mommies who have decided that the lives of you and your families are more important than some crackhead loser who decides he wants your purse and is willing to do you or your children physical harm to get it. Good for you, and too bad for Mr. and Mrs. Crackhead. They'd be wise to choose a new profession. Carry on, moms, and God bless all of you. Before we get started tonight, I'd like to tell you a little bit about my weekend. Folks, I hooked up my camper to my big red Dodge Ram pickup truck and went to the NASCAR race at Darlington last evening. The track too tough to tame, and believe you me, I was not disappointed. Folks, I got to tell you, I've been attending professional sporting events my entire life. I've been a season ticket holder of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for years and have been to stadiums all over this nation. I can therefore make this statement from personal observation. Saturday night's race was the only sporting event I have ever attended where every single person in attendance said amen after the invocation, and where the sound of 200,000 fans singing the national anthem actually drowned out the performer. That's America at its finest, ladies and gentlemen, and I'd be willing to bet my bottom dollar that every one of those fans were gun owners, too. And in the same breath, be pretty darn sure there wasn't a liberal tree-hugger Birkenstock-wearing kook within miles of that track. If you've never been to a NASCAR event, I highly recommend it. Go see some racing. To all you anti-everythings out there that like to call NASCAR fans rednecks, let me tell you something. I'd love to be one of those rednecks because tens of thousands of them drove out of those stands in that stadium that afternoon in a multi-million dollar bus heading to the next race in Charlotte while all of us are getting up and going to work. Who do you want to call a redneck? My fellow law-abiding armed Americans, you are listening to the only radio program in the United States whose sole purpose is to advance, get this, the freedom haters are going to love this. Folks, you're listening to the only program that has the guts to tell you that one of our main goals is that every law-abiding American that chooses have the right to carry a hidden and loaded weapon of your choice everywhere you have a lawful right to be. Your right to self-defense does not stop at a building entrance or parking lot because some anti-freedom goober politician decides he or she thinks they know what's good for you or us. Hidden and loaded guns. I took those words from an email I received last week from one of the enemy camps, the Freedom States Alliance. It's interesting, isn't it? The Freedom States Alliance wants to strip you of your freedoms. These gun-hating misfits reek and drip of hypocrisy, the likes of which is astounding to me. And I'm not going to waste my time skimming over the email. I'm just going to tell you that the unbelievable garbage that I get from these folks that pollutes my email inbox can never be ignored because it clearly states their desire and their position to disarm law-abiding people, not criminals, law-abiding people. So, folks, sleep with one eye open out there. We're getting ready right now. We'd bring in Mr. Dick Heller and Mr. Dane Von Breiken-Rookhart. And, gentlemen, are you on the air with us now?
I am.
Dick Heller's here.
Mr. Heller?
Yes, sir.
I want to say thank you. Again, we've talked many, many times, and I can't begin a conversation with you without thanking you again for your selflessness and your patriotism and for everything that you've done for law-abiding gun owners across this country. Thank you, sir, for standing up for freedom.
Thank you. That's the more of those that we get, the more it seems like a payment for the 15 years we put in to get to the Supreme Court.
It's amazing. It has been 15 years.
Unbelievable. A quarter of my life. And we never thought about it that way until I just started, 15 is a quarter of my age, and amazing.
Well, congratulations to you. And on behalf of all of our listeners across the country tonight, thank you so much. Thank you so much for having the will to stand up to the freedom haters and the anti-gun zealots across this country that literally want to strip us from our freedom. Stane, are you on with us as well?
Yes, I am. I'm right here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us this evening. Gentlemen, we have got so much to talk about. I say it every week. I've got, 5 hours of material that we'd like to cram into an hour, so let's get right into it. And the first question, Dick, I'd like to ask you, since we spoke last, in fact, let me just mention this here. You are the subject of my Ordinary Guy column in the issue of Concealed Carry magazine, the Volume 6, April 2009 issue that's out right now. And we're getting some tremendous feedback on that. So thank both of you gentlemen for giving us that interview and that time to the U.S. Concealed Carry Association. We appreciate it very much.
Our pleasure.
What has happened now in D.C. as a result of the Heller decision? Are you any more free?
That's a legal issue, and the president of the Bill of Rights Foundation, who I call Mr. Magic when it comes to legal strategy, is the best person to answer those questions.
Dane, are we more free in D.C. today?
A little bit. It's not anywhere close to where we need to be, but yes, clearly the court said that the handgun ban was a violation of a constitutional right. And that basically that they could not encumber us from reasonably obtaining, the firearm and being able to register it and keep it in our homes. But it's very, very limited. It is only for having a gun in the home. And if you remove the gun from the home, you have to trigger lock it, unload it, disassemble it, put it in some kind of a sealed container. And you have to have the ammunition in one part of your car and the gun in the other to just take it out of town to go shoot at a range someplace. So they're very strict about the only place that you can have it loaded and ready to go is in your home, period.
Now, Dane, that's today in light of the Heller decision. I know that in anybody that's been following the case or anybody that's been watching it from the beginning knows that since the decision came down that they had all these goofy kook California requirements that we were hearing about.
That came later. The first thing that happened is that they had to come up within 90 days of the Supreme Court decision, they had to come up with emergency legislation. And during that period of time, you really couldn't do anything. In the 90 days, you really couldn't do anything. But once the 90 days were up and they had it's incomplete legislation at that time, and they did not yet incorporate the California list. And so, but what they did do is that they would not register semi-automatics because they said that we didn't specifically point those out in our case. But we pointed to them and said, well, first of all, we filed the lawsuit against them. And there was another element that was important, which was the trigger. It was the inoperability rule, which said that the gun had to be disassembled, unloaded, and trigger locked. And you had to wait until you faced an imminent threat. And then and only then could you take off the trigger lock, load the gun, assemble it, and use it. And so we sued immediately on those two issues, and we didn't even have to go to court. They dropped They agreed to register semi-automatic handguns, and they dropped all of that about the trigger lock and having it unloaded and disassembled within the home. So we did prevail on that, but that was remedial. I mean, we should have had that anyway. So I don't see that as it being a second victory. It was just literally holding their feet to the fire, requiring them to comply with the court's order.
Now, Dane, if I move to Washington, D.C. today,
yeah,
and I've got a handgun that I want to bring into the district,
yes,
tell me what I need to do and what the laws are right now today.
If you already own the gun and it's properly and legally yours, then you have to go right down to the police station. Well, first thing you have to do is you have to call the police station and tell them that you're coming in with however many guns you have, and tell them that, you know, make an appointment with them. The guns have to be unloaded and trigger locked and in some sort of a container, and you can go down to the police station to the section that does handgun registration, and you would fill out your forms and take your test and have your mugshot done. Then they would take your guns and go down to the basement of the building where they have the lab, and they will fire several rounds of each gun and put those bullets and casings in a storage as if they were going to solve a crime with that sometime. And by the way, that system has never worked. It's never prosecuted a single person.
Good heavens.
I beg your pardon?
Good heavens.
Yeah, it's a really ridiculous thing. So, and then if you pass the test and all that, and then what happens, they tell you to take the guns home, and you have to wait until you have been cleared. And in Dick's case, he was an easy one to clear quickly because he was already an armed officer, armed police officer. So with him, it didn't take quite as long, but it can take as much as 30 or 40 days to get back. During that period of time, even though you legally own the guns, you're not to load the guns. You leave them trigger locked and disassembled and hidden away in your home in a very secure place, because, you know, which I don't have a problem with that. I think you should securely lock your guns down in your home. But you can't do anything until you hear back from them, and then they let you know that you were cleared on your background check, and then you got to go back down there again a second time to pick up the paperwork, and you need to bring to them two passport photos.
Unbelievable. Hey, gentlemen, hang in with us for just a second. We're going to hear some music in the background and go to a station break, and we will be back with Dick Heller and Dane von Breichenrookhart in just a moment. Thanks, everybody.
Banks are going bust. Shopkeepers keep a gun under the counter. Punks are running wild in the street, and there's nobody anywhere who seems to know what to do, and there's no end to it.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
Don't miss the Atlanta Community Breakfast, Wednesday, May 20th at Fox Sports Grill, Atlantic Station. This month's speaker is leadership development expert Christina Parker, senior vice president of a national company, founder and CEO of a leading professional development organization, and an owner of a thriving franchise business. Christina believes that the key to success in business and in life is the conscious development of and investment in others. Register online at atlantacommunitybreakfast.com. That's Wednesday, May 20th at Fox Sports Grill, Atlantic Station.
My name is John DiMartino. I'm from Colorado, and I started using Andy Willoughby's three-step plan. It's extremely encouraging for me, and they've given me training on exactly what to say, and I don't have to be a salesman to talk to people that are calling me. It's made me feel like, wow, let's do business. I can only conceive of growing and growing and growing now. I'm 56 years old, and I feel young. I feel renewed. I'm happy. I'm excited about my financial future. In a short amount of time, less than an hour a day, if someone wanted to, they could have a system. This is a stress relieving business.
Hi, how in the world are you anyway? This is Andy Willoughby. After 5 years, the three-step plan is a proven success story. If you're tired of worrying about money all the time, go to threestepplan.com or call 800-305-5482.
800-305-5482.
One of the few times we are aware of movement is when it suddenly stops. Multiple sclerosis stops people from moving. We exist to make sure it doesn't. With the help of people like you, the National MS Society addresses the challenges of each person whose life is affected by MS and helps them stay connected to the great big moving world. Join the movement at nationalmssociety.org.
And now, another reason to switch to GEICO.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like GEICO's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. GEICO.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy squeezy lemon peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
The voice of Atlanta is here. 920 AM WGKA.
Oh, lay that pistol down, babe. Lay that pistol down. Pistol packin' mama. Lay that pistol down.
Don't lay that pistol down. Go out and shoot it, everybody. Enlighten the people generally, and tyranny and oppressions of body and mind will vanish like spirits at the dawn of day. Do not bite at the bait of pleasure till you know there is no hook beneath it. And every citizen should be a soldier. This was the case with the Greeks and Romans and must be that of every free state. Thomas Jefferson, my friends, heed those words and heed that advice. Do not bite at the bait of pleasure till you know there is no hook beneath it. We're back with Dane and Dick Heller. Gentlemen, we have so much to talk about. Let's go right into the meat of it. First off, Dick, do you feel more comfortable since the decision now? Are you feeling like things are going in the right direction?
Well, they're headed in the right direction, but I think there's a big element that we need to add to the last legal answer you got to your question of what would you need to do. One of the things that just really upsets me is they, after the decision, after the 90 days was up and they passed the new laws, I think that they wrote some regulations, in my opinion, that were meant to do nothing but harass the gun owner. For instance, every 6 months, every 2 years, and every 3 years, there is a paper process you have to go through, and to miss one of these processes because maybe you're out of the country for a month or in the hospital for a month is actually a criminal offense. And they will prosecute you, and you will lose your Second Amendment rights.
That is frightening. And, you know, let's expand on that for a second.
Yeah, every 6 months. I think there was, I can't remember what that was. Every 2 years, you have to go have a new FBI background check. That costs $100 or something. And every 3 years, you have to re-register all your weapons.
Are there any more court cases in the wings here, guys?
Yes. We've filed a case that's, in fact, it's the briefs are due in August. And also, there are a couple of other. There's at least one other attorney that has joined with us with his client, and essentially it's four counts that we've consolidated them down now to three counts. One of them is the use of the California list, which makes no sense. If you know anything about the California list, that was nothing but a shakedown. You had to give the state of California, gun manufacturers had to give the state of California a big pot of money to just let them sell their gun in California. And a lot of dealers just refuse to do that. And, of course, since the California list was invented, they have not updated it. So there are a lot of guns that have been manufactured that are perfectly legitimate, fall well within the nomenclature of the guns that can be registered in the District of Columbia, but they won't register them because they're not on the list. They're not on the approved list. To give you an example, even a cosmetic difference, for instance, one of the guns that Dick Heller tried to register was a Colt Series 70, a model 1911. Well, as you know, a model 1911 is a model 1911. I mean, you can put fancy things on them to make them more accurate. You can put sights on them. You can improve the trigger pull. But a 1911 is a 1911. And in the 70s, Colt decided to just put Series 70. They just etched it into the metal. Same gun, no difference. But they won't register it because on the list it doesn't say anything about Series 70. We had a pistol that was made by Uzi, a 10-shot semi-automatic, not to be confused with the Uzi machine gun. Uzi is really the first name of a famous designer, gun designer in Israel. And he made a little pistol, 9-millimeter pistol, called the Baby Desert Eagle. And he had his signature on it, Uzi. And they will not register that because it has the word Uzi on it. Because and if you take any gun in there that's got Uzi written on it, they won't register it. So there are these cosmetic ridiculousness things, and guns that are perfectly legitimate that should be registered are denied. And the other attorney that we will be joining with, and with his client, he wanted to buy one of those anodized pistols. You know, they come out with these pastel colors, pink and blue and green or whatever, and they won't register it because the gun has to be either blued or pulverized or chrome or stainless steel. Anything other than that, they won't register it. So you can tell that really there's no genuine reason as to why these guns should not be registered, and we shouldn't have to go through the registration anyway. We are making a facial challenge on the whole thing. We're saying prove to us, because now that we have won the case, and particularly since the incorporation that we, which we need to talk a little bit about that, it's not all that it's cracked up to be, but it helps. And, of course, we're going to ask the court for strict scrutiny, which is the highest level of scrutiny, because we're dealing with a fundamental enumerated personal right. And under those conditions, we're going to ask for strict scrutiny. And this means that the District of Columbia is going to have to show a compelling interest in doing all this stuff and link it as to why it works. They have to prove to the court that this is the only way that they can keep people safe, and that registration does something. And I don't know where they're going to pull that rabbit out of the hat, because it's been shown over and over and over again that registration has no effect one way or the other.
No, but it makes them feel good. It makes them feel good because they cannot argue based on fact.
Yeah.
They can only argue based on emotion, and it makes them feel good. Staying with the court cases here out there, Dane, right now, the Ninth Circuit, okay, this is a goofball circuit out there.
Yeah.
We all know they're the most overturned circuit in the land. Yet they came out with the Nordyke decision recently that kind of is tough to read. What's your take on this?
Well, here's the problem. First of all, it's the initial knee-jerk reaction was that, oh, good, we got, you know, that's going to be a big case we don't have to go chasing after. That they kind of gave it to us on a silver platter. But in reflection, you know, you sit down and you read this. The problem is what incorporation means for your listening audience, very briefly, is that when the Bill of Rights were written, they were only binding against the federal government. It had no effect on the state or municipal governments at all. It was strictly for that. When the 14th Amendment came out, what they did is that it incorporated a part of the 14th Amendment, either under the Due Process Clause or under the Privileges and Immunity Clause. You could start the process of what is called selective incorporation. This is where you would have to wait for a case to come up. You would have to argue that this case, in the case, in your pleadings, you would ask the court to incorporate, a particular right or clause, into the Constitution to be binding against the states. And the Third Amendment has not yet been incorporated. The Second Amendment, up until recently, had not been incorporated. And there were a couple of clauses, I think, in the Seventh Amendment that were never incorporated. So the incorporation process is a piecemeal process. And like I said, under either the Due Process Clause or under the Privileges and Immunities Clause are the only two real, other than the natural, there's one other argument about something. You know, like defending your life, you don't even have to make an argument for it. The court recognizes it, and it comes automatically to you as an immunity an individual right.
Now, Dane, we should tell everybody out there, we should tell the listeners out there that this had to do, the Nordyke case, and again, the Ninth Circuit, let's tell everybody where the Ninth Circuit is. They're up there in California.
In California, yeah.
Okay, we'll get that out there. The other issue is the Nordyke case had to do with what? The county property?
Yes, it did. It had to do with a gun show host, a company that put on gun shows, and for years they used the county grounds, you know, not while the fair was going on, but, you know, in the summertime, they would lease from the county a couple of buildings and sheds to put on their gun show. And finally, this county out there decided they didn't want to do that anymore. This is kind of a retaliation, you know, because they don't out there they don't like guns and they don't like people with guns. So clearly there was no reason for it. There had never been any incident. No one had ever been shot. No problems had ever developed out of it. Just one day, the county supervisors decided that you couldn't hold any more gun shows. And they went to court on that, and as a part of their argument, eventually, it's a long, drawn-out case that has been going on. But finally, what they did is that when the Heller case was prevailed, they cited the Heller case and went back in. They lost their case. The Ninth Circuit has, and of course, it's appealable. We're waiting to see what they're going to do. But essentially, they said that the county has the right to, you know, that it doesn't. That's not an infringement on your right to own guns, and the county has the right to use the property in any way they want to. And if they don't want to hold shows out there for guns, they had the right to do it.
Dane, hold on 1 second. Hold that thought. We're going to roll into the break here for just a second. We'll come back and we'll get into some more issues.
Okay.
Thanks, everybody. We'll be right back with Dane von Breichenruckhardt and Mr. Dick Heller momentarily.
Americans play to win all the time. I wouldn't give a hoot in hell for a man who lost and laughed.
This is meteorologist Frank Strait from the WGKA Weather Center. Overnight and Monday morning, we'll have rain at times with an embedded heavy thunderstorm or two, the low about 60. Monday afternoon, we'll stay mainly cloudy, high about 70. Clearing and cool Monday night, low 52. And plenty of sunshine for Tuesday, very nice in the afternoon with the high 76. Mainly cloudy Wednesday with a shower or two, high 78. Clouds and sun with an afternoon thunderstorm Thursday, high 81. I'm meteorologist Frank Strait for the WGKA Weather Center, powered by AccuWeather.
The landscape of America is changing before us.
Starting today, we must pick ourselves up.
Their paychecks from the train.
And begin again the work of remaking America.
Three giants of conservative thought on the only nationwide tour covering the first 100 days of the new administration.
$9 trillion to America's debt over the next decade.
Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA presents A Meeting of the Minds.
Taxes, the yeas are 328, the nays are 90.
Healthcare.
The bill is passed.
The event of the season in Georgia, featuring Bill Bennett, Dennis Prager, Hugh Hewitt, with special guest moderator and New York Times best-selling author Jonah Goldberg. Tuesday, May 19th at the Cobb Energy Performing Arts Center. Sponsored by Four Corners Financial Strategies, Cure International, and the Georgia Christian Alliance. VIP reception tickets are already sold out, and $30 general admission tickets are going fast. Go to 920WGKA.com or call 404-995-7300.
Are you a man facing divorce? If so, listen carefully. Divorce affects all areas of your life, financially, emotionally, and mentally. It changes the relationship that you have with your children, perhaps even more than you think. My name is Joe Cordell, and I know how hard divorce can be because I've been there myself. Our firm works hard to protect the interests of men during the process. We represent men like you who want to protect their financial interests and the relationship that they have with their kids. Everyone involved in a divorce is affected by the breakup of the family. Cordell & Cordell seeks to help you through this difficult time and to ensure your rights are protected so that then you can move on with your life.
The attorneys at Cordell & Cordell work to help men maximize their role in their children's lives, which includes protecting men's financial means to do so. Call the domestic litigation firm of Cordell & Cordell, 404-842-0009. Cordell & Cordell, a partner men can count on. 842-0009. 842-0009.
Clear, consistent, informative, on-time traffic is Atlanta's best traffic coverage. Only on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
Right, you're bloody well right. You got a bloody right to say.
Welcome back, everybody. We're broadcasting live on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA from the beautiful Buckhead section of Atlanta, Georgia. If you'd like to join us on the air this evening, reach out to us at 888-920-2665, 888-920-2665, or 770-226-0920, 770-226-0920. Everybody, Americans have the right and advantage of being armed, unlike the citizens of other countries whose governments are afraid to trust the people with them. James Madison, what a beautiful thing. Okay, Dane, we were touching on the Ninth Circuit out there and the Nordyke decision. What's the, because we have so much to get into, and I know we could talk about this for hours, what's the nuts and bolts here? What happened with this?
Well, what happened is that Nordyke lost the case. It's appealable, but the court, sua sponte is the term that she used. Sua sponte is a Latin term which means on the court's own motion. They decided that before they could make a decision in the Nordyke case, they had to determine as to whether or not, because now that we're in a state, you know, the Heller case was in the District of Columbia, so incorporation was not even a possibility. But when you're at the state level, then you have to determine, okay, now that the Supreme Court has ruled that it's an individual, fundamental, enumerated right, the Ninth Circuit correctly, I agree with the Ninth Circuit, I think they did the right thing. They said, look, we can't decide this case until we can decide whether or not the Second Amendment is incorporated and is binding against the state. And so they went through a lot of legal rigmarole. You can read it, pull it up and read it. And they concluded that under the privileges and immunity, under the due process clause of the 14th Amendment, and that's how they brought it in. Instead of bringing it in under privileges and immunities, they agreed, but there are a lot of people who feel like they went the wrong direction with this. And we would have had a much stronger position if they had ruled that the incorporation was through the privileges and immunities. Now, you have to understand, this is the first time that this has come up where a circuit court has absolutely ruled on it, other than there have been a couple of other older cases back in the 1800s that it was touched on, but not anything quite like what we had here with the Ninth Circuit. So it doesn't really mean that the other circuits are going to follow that.
Okay, you never know what that circuit's going to do.
That's
and that,
right.
That decision, I looked at that and I thought, okay, hey, that looks good. But wait a minute, that looks bad.
Yeah.
So I guess what we're going to do then is the lay folks out there like us are just going to have to watch this thing wind its way through the courts and hope for the best as we do anywhere else. Mr. Heller,
yes, sir.
How are you feeling now? Now, we have not spoken at any great length since we talked at the SHOT Show, and I guess the best way to phrase this is we've not spoken at any great length since the inauguration. Boy, we sure are seeing an awful lot of doom and gloom and crisis, and everything's terrible out there today. How are you feeling about the future since the Heller decision, since the decision in your case, since the inauguration, with all of the anti-gun nuts coming out of the woodworks here on ABC, CBS, anywhere you turn?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because I thought that, hey, we won. The district will set the new regulations and protocols, and I'll just go to the other states and collect my firearms and take them home, and it'll be a walk in the park. And I guess I was, like Alan Greenspan says, just guilty of irrational exuberance. And since then, since the decision, it's, to me personally, it seems like what we did is, if the left was a hornet's nest, we hit the hornet's nest with a stick, and we have activity, visible activity everywhere now.
You know, that's a great point. Let's talk about that for just a second. When you hit the left with a stick and you've stirred up that hornet's nest, it's amazing. Well, it's not amazing to me. I've been around long enough to see this before, and I'm sure I'm going to be around long enough to see it again. But the left in this country has gone so far left with the help of the mainstream media. And Dane, feel free to jump in here at any time. The mainstream media in this country scares me more than the socialist in chief right now.
Because they have a heck of a lot of more influence on the public, because the public, and the only way that you get to really watch government in action is either go down there and listen in or turn into C-SPAN, and of course all you're catching is whatever they happen to put on the air at that time. But the mainstream news is, most people in this country depend on that, and depend on that almost exclusively for their information. And this is what's so frightening about it, because they have the mainstream media has, you know, such a broad reach, you know, and thank goodness for places like Fox and other, and of course I'm hoping that the internet will eventually save us, that we might be what appears to be in a nosedive, but now we're getting bloggers, we're getting more and more places that people can go and pick up information. The only problem is here's the trade-off, is that how do you know you're getting good stuff? There's a lot of junk out there on the Internet. There's a lot of paranoia and ridiculousness and, you know, posing as being, you know, right-wing enthusiasts, but they're not. They're a bunch of kooks. So you've got to be careful who you listen to. You've got to do your homework. And if it's important enough to you to be a citizen of the country, then, you know, just like taking care of yourself, you got to take care of business. And you need to know what your congressman is doing. You should know his phone number. You should know everything about him. You should go onto the Internet and look up your representative and your two senators and write them frequently or email them or whatever and let them know that you're out there.
Oh, folks, pay very close attention. We have got to stay on top of these people. I've said it before. I'll continue to say it again, that you've got to sleep with one eye open here. Yeah. And I know I'm right about that. You know, you're talking about let's go to the New York Times here for a second, because what you just said about the Internet and right. so forth. You know, the New York Times is about bankrupt. They have a liberal left-wing agenda. Any clear-thinking individual knows that. And there was a New York Times op-ed by Charles Blow. And we're going to get to the one I know what you're thinking about, the one by Jimmy Carter. But I want to quote him here. He says, "Lately I've been consuming as much conservative media as possible, interspersed with shots of Pepto-Bismol, to get a better sense of the mind mood of the right. My read, they're apocalyptic. They feel isolated, angry, betrayed, and besieged. And some of their leaders," in quotes, "seem to be trying to mold them into militias." This is absurdity and hypocrisy at the utmost level. Now let's touch very quickly on Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter on April 27th penned an op-ed to the New York Times, and it was entitled, "What Happened to the Ban on Assault Weapons?" And folks, you need to go out and Google this thing up and take a look at it. "What Happened to the Ban on Assault Weapons" by Jimmy Carter in the New York Times on April 27th. We don't have enough time to read it, but Dane and Dick, give me your thoughts on this.
Well, I can tell you, it's a constant absurdity that somehow or another, because a gun looks mean and nasty, that it's more deadly than some gun that's all pretty and carved up with doves and deer on the side. You know, I got a Browning 30-06 with all kinds of etchings and carvings on it, and it's a beautiful rifle. It has a scope on it. And, you know, it
is a scope is pretty scary. A scope is pretty scary.
Yeah, a scope is scary.
That's a scary thing.
But nobody calls it an assault weapon, and it's a 30-06, for goodness sakes, and it's got a detachable magazine. It's got a pistol grip stock. It's a semi-automatic, and it's got glass sights. And, you know, it should, but you know why? It's because it's pretty. It's
food,
and it's got etchings on it, and it's a beautiful rifle.
Well, that scope scares me because you might be able to hit what you're shooting at.
Yeah.
That's a concept that, we'll move on.
Well,
hey, guys, real quick.
Say, I just want to point this out. The most absurd thing in that article, that Jimmy Carter, he said that there was only one reason for assault weapons, and that was to kill policemen.
Yeah, his handguns, I guess, his handguns aren't deadly. He, you know, all the while he writes this and he knocks the assault weapons, we all know what that is. That's a mantra of the anti-gun left.
Yeah.
The whole time he's talking about he's a gun owner and he's got his handguns. I guess his handguns aren't deadly. In the wrong hands. I just don't get it. Hey, gentlemen, we've got a call from Henry in Columbia, South Carolina. Henry, are you on the phone with us?
I am.
Welcome to the program, my friend.
Thank you. I'd like to congratulate Mr. Heller on his victory, as anemic as it is, as it seems. And I might suggest that we all move to Montana. I read recently where they are actually challenging the federal government, sort of.
Yeah, they are.
Henry, you just touched on one of our topics. We'll go into that now. Guys?
Okay, thanks.
Yeah. You betcha. Thanks for the call. Dane, let's
right.
take that.
Well, clearly what's happened is that Montana says, look, you know, we're tired of getting jerked around by the central government. If we make guns in our own state and we don't export them and we make the bullets here and shoot them here, then it is clearly an overreach of the Commerce Clause to tell us that we have to do it according to the federal standards. We don't, and this is an abuse of the authority that we gave the government when we created the Commerce Clause, and they basically passed a Montana law, and they're going to start making and building their own guns and ammunition, and they're going to invite the government to do something about it.
Now, is that going to work its way through the courts? How is that? What are they doing? Are they baiting here?
Well, yeah, to some degree. I mean, clearly the federal government's not going to let them get away with this. They're going to come in And the first thing they have to do, they have to wait until something happens. So some guy will open up a shop, and he'll make some gun and put it together, and the ATF will hear of it, and they'll raid his place and take his guns and arrest him, and we're on our way.
Another Ruby Ridge and another Waco.
Supreme Court.
Yeah, we're looking at another Ruby Ridge and another Waco. And, you know, it's, I don't know. I want to jump over real quick again to another column that was penned out there. This one in the AJC by our friend right down the street here in Hotlanta, Georgia. Boy, we see some great ones from her. This one's from Cynthia Tucker, and you guys are going to love this headline. Gun violence is more serious plague than swine flu crisis, gentlemen.
Yeah. The one thing she overlooks is the number of car deaths every day dwarfs any problem you have with guns.
Well, Mr. Heller, I've decided a long time ago that cars should be banned.
Yes.
Because of the damage they cause.
Al Gore would have banned them if you read his book.
Al Gore. Let's not even get started with Al Gore. Dane, what's with the hysteria out here with these title, with these headlines? Gun violence is more serious plague than the swine flu and the crisis. Everything is a crisis since we've got this new administration. Is this a tactic?
Oh, of course it is. Absolutely, it's a tactic. And what they're trying to do, they picked something. Actually, you know, it makes more sense when you look at how Democrats think or how they claim they think and how Republicans think. You know, anybody from Mars, and they came down to visit, and you sort of described, you know, the law and order type, you know, that the right is known for, and the kind of laid back, do whatever you want to do attitude that comes out of the left. I would bet you that any smart Martian would say, if I said, well, which one do you think wants to have gun control? I think they would have picked the Republicans, because it would have been more typical, because the Republicans are, you know, law and order types, and you don't get away with any type of thing. It's a bad issue. They picked up on it a long time ago, and it's a tar baby effect. They stuck their fist in it, and they can't get out, and they keep fighting, and they can't make a logical, reasonable argument. So they use the Bernays principle.
What a great point. Dane, hang in there. I'm hearing music in the headphones again. We'll be back in just a second, everybody, with Mr. Heller. And Dane, just a few minutes.
I'm a human being. My life has value.
Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Extreme Hunting and Shooting Store. You have the right to protect yourself and your family. Exercise that right with Big Woods Goods' tremendous selection of handguns, rifles, and the latest self-defense products. We carry all the best in outdoor sports equipment and shooting accessories, and our knowledgeable staff is here to help. Get them what they really want this year with a gift certificate to Big Woods Goods. Hunting, sports, and self-defense. Get the goods. Big Woods Goods, Highway 5 at Holly Springs and online at bigwoodsgoods.com.
I'm Carl Edwards. As a NASCAR driver, I can't let allergies slow me down. That's why I use Claritin. It works hard on my toughest allergy symptoms. And unlike many other allergy medicines, it won't make you drowsy. For me, Claritin really is the perfect allergy medicine. Stay alert, stay focused. Live Claritin Clear with non-drowsy Claritin.
Right now, you can get 10 free Claritin tablets for 10 free days of non-drowsy allergy relief with the Claritin 30 plus 10 bonus pack. 10 free tablets, 10 free days of relief at a store near you. Use as directed.
Peter Baruch, Senior Compliance Director for the Business Software Alliance.
Pirating software is serious. It hurts software developers, our economy, and it's illegal. If software is copied illegally at your workplace, report it to the BSA. It's the right thing to do.
Report software piracy confidentially, and you may be eligible for rewards of up to $1 million. Visit www.nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY. That's nopiracy.com or call 1-888-NO-PIRACY.
Now's the time to keep ants out of your house. And each ding you hear is Amdro Ant Block doing just that, killing another ant before it ever gets inside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the perimeter of your home and it kills ants outside so they can't come in. Ant after ant, house after house. Ant Block is a bait ants think is food, so they eat it and die, including the queen. Amdro Ant Block, the most effective home perimeter ant bait, even works on carpenter ants. Find out why Ant Block is better at baitisbetter.com.
Now is the best time to buy a home. Why? It's a buyer's market with deep discounts on both new and pre-owned homes in Greater Atlanta. Plus, additional tax credits may apply for certain home purchases. Also, mortgage rates are the lowest they've been in nearly 50 years. So, who should you call?
Nobody knows Atlanta like Chris Monroe.
With nearly 20 years spent covering Atlanta from the ground and from the air, Chris knows Atlanta real estate like no one else. What you'll get from Chris is unmatched personal service. Call Chris Monroe now, 404-924-5520.
You're listening to the bedrock of public thought in Georgia. Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA.
In matters of style, swim with the current. In matters of principles, stand like a rock. That's our friend TJ, Thomas Jefferson, folks. You got to love it. Dane and Dick, we're back with you on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA, and I want to point out an email I got. I love when I sign up for the Enemy Camp's emails because it keeps you on your toes. This one's from the Freedom States Alliance. Dane, you familiar with them? Dick, familiar with them?
I've heard of them.
Okay, they're showing some fear out there. Fear because they don't see the signs anyway, as the Brady campaign has complained recently, that the Obama administration isn't giving them everything they want.
Yeah.
Now, are they laying in wait here? I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of things out here on the streets. Are these folks laying in wait? What's your take on that?
Oh, yeah, timing right now, it means everything to them. And I'll tell you, the one who really laid out the strategy, I was surprised to hear, was Feinstein out of California. She made a very, I mean, she was interviewed and she was very honest. At least you'd have to give her that. She said, we will return. She says, right now we're going to back off a little bit on the assault weapons ban and other gun laws until the timing is right. And she said, believe me, the timing will be right. And I don't know what she's thinking about. She didn't say which timing of what incident, but it's almost like she's waiting for some episodic process to take place, and then based on that, they'll springboard back into this, new gun laws or restrictions or banning of guns or certain type of guns. I don't know what she has in mind, but she made it very clear that they were going to kind of back off right now and dive in. And, of course, this is what happened with Pelosi and Reid, who jumped on Holder, because Holder kind of prematurely jumped in and said that he wanted to bring back the assault weapons ban. And they didn't want to show their hand on that this soon. And so essentially Pelosi and Reid did not back up at all Eric Holder's comment that he wanted to reinstall the assault weapons ban. So, yeah, they're planning something, and you can count on it coming.
Yeah, the timing of all of this is a little bit uncanny, and it's a little bit frightening. And it comes on the heels of these hit pieces we see on ABC.
Yeah.
Well, you know, ABC, I guess, like I said last week, obviously now stands for Appease the Brady Campaign. We're seeing it on 60 Minutes, where they're coming out with hit pieces, one right after the other. We're seeing the editorials in the left-wing papers. And when I say left-wing papers, I mean the nation's quote-unquote mainstream media. Because everyone with a clear mind knows that the mainstream media is tilting a little bit off kilter to the left. And Eric Holder, let's talk about that for just a moment, gentlemen. I do a lot of business down in El Paso, and I've gotten into Mexico quite a bit. I've been in Juarez, Mexico, many, many times. It's a scary place. It's always been a rough town, and obviously over the past couple years, it's been very, very violent. Now we're seeing the mantra of the left that we're pouring illegal guns from the United States into Mexico, and we all know, sure, there's guns coming in from the United States, but not the grenades and not the fully automatic weapons that we're seeing down there. We know where those are coming from. They're coming from Central America, but they're not going to tell us the truth on that.
No.
Are they going to use this as an excuse again? I mean, I'm asking a rhetorical question here. I know what the answer is, but I'd love to hear your take.
Well, yeah, they are going to do this, and this is one of the reasons why they say things like 90% of all of the guns that came, well, that's not true. 90% of all of the guns that were traceable, which is a very small number compared to the huge number of guns that came from other places. And so what they do is that they drop that little detail. They just said, oh, 90% of all the assault weapons that have made it into Mexico came from the United States, and that is not at all what they the Border Patrol and everyone else is telling us. They just said of the identified ones that had actual serial numbers on them where they could trace them back, that all of the traceable guns, under the traceable guns, yes, 90% of them came from the U.S., but that was a relatively small number when you looked at the whole picture.
17%, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, it was 17% of what came across. Yeah. Dick, as we get, we've got about 4 minutes here, and I want to get your take on a couple things here. Future cases. Well, first off, let me do this. I know you gentlemen are going to be at the NRA convention
right.
in just a couple weeks, if I'm not mistaken, in Phoenix.
Just a couple days.
A couple days. That is a couple days, isn't it? Time's flying right by. See what that NASCAR race did to me this weekend? You're going to be a guest speaker at the convention, Dick?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I don't want to take away any thunder, and I know there's a lot of people out there that are probably going to be there, but can you guys give us any insight as to what you got planned coming up for our freedoms here as far as court cases are concerned?
Oh, as far as the court cases are concerned, like I said, we filed this case that will be briefed and probably argued this summer, and we'll probably go through that right now. Now, insofar as other cases throughout the country, you got a bunch of them going. There are a lot of states and cities and counties and municipalities that have all kinds of gun cases that are going on based on the Heller case. So if that's what you mean, but from our arena, we're going to follow through. This is the Heller 2B case because we had the Heller 1 case, and then we filed Heller 2, and they dropped the semi-automatic restraint and dropped the trigger lock requirement. And so we had to go back and amend that. Because in the meantime, Dick tried to bring in four more guns, and they refused to allow him to bring those guns in. And what's so ironic, the gun that he ended up registering right after the Supreme Court victory was, I think it was a Harrington Richardson or an Iva Johnson Buntline Special type of pistol. Well, it's not on the approved list, so we're waiting to see if we're going to get a letter from the city telling us to take the gun out of the city, because technically today, if Dick walked in and tried to register that revolver, they would not register it.
And that's what's so frightening right now when you talk about on the approved list.
Yeah.
We've
well,
got
what,
an
what
attorney general that wants to fight to keep an approved list. Dick, go ahead.
Mark, what it does is when a gun is no longer in production the company doesn't want to pay the extortion fees, it just removes a very large block of secondhand guns out of the marketplace.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, Mark, you were asking about what happened if you were a person moving into the District of Columbia and already owned guns. If they're not on the approved list, you're not allowed to bring them into the district. You would have to leave them somewhere.
And we want to trust Eric Holder to put an approved list together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a fodder for another show. Gentlemen, we've got about just a little bit less than 1 minute left. I want to thank both of you very much for joining us and spending some time with me again. Mr. Heller, on behalf of all law-abiding gun owners across the country, thank you so much for spending that quarter of your life. We owe you a very serious debt of gratitude. Mr. Von Breiken-Rickhardt, thank you so much for giving us the brilliant insight. I wish we had more time, gentlemen. We run out every week. But I want to thank both of you very much for joining us, and hopefully we can have you back on very, very soon. Everybody, this has been another edition of Armed American Radio. Visit us at usconcealedcarry.com, armedamericanradio.org, and hit my blog at theamericangunfighter.com. We'll see you next week here on WGKA Intelligent Talk 920 in Atlanta.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio with your host, Mark Walters. Brought to you every Sunday evening by the United States Concealed Carry Association. Hear us next Sunday at 8 p.m. right here on Intelligent Talk 920 WGKA. And to learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org.